April 1st, 1898. Educational work. Ellen G. White. Now, as never before, we need to understand the true science of education. If we fail to understand this, we shall never have a place in the kingdom of God. Our schools should be after the order of the schools of the prophets. The schools of the prophets were founded by Samuel to serve as a barrier against the widespread corruption, to provide for the moral and spiritual welfare of the youth, and to promote the future prosperity of the nation by furnishing it with men qualified to act in the fear of God as leaders and counselors. The pupils of these schools sustained themselves by their own labor in tilling the soil or in some mechanical employment. In Israel, this was not thought strange nor degrading. Indeed, it was regarded a crime to allow children to grow up in ignorance of useful labor. By the command of God, every child was taught some trade, even though he was to be educated for holy office. Many of the religious teachers supported themselves by manual labor. Even so late as the time of the apostles, Paul and Aquila were no less honored because they earned a livelihood by their trade of tent making. We are to have teachers who will keep their souls in the love and fear of God. Teachers are to educate in spiritual things, to prepare a people to stand in the trying crisis before us. God would not have us in any sense behind in the educational work, and our colleges should be far in advance in the highest kind of education. The youth should be taught the importance of cultivating their physical, mental, and moral powers, that they may not only reach the highest attainment in science, but, through a knowledge of God, may be educated to glorify Him, that they may develop symmetrical characters and thus be fully prepared for usefulness in this world and obtain a moral fitness for immortal life. Our school was established not merely to teach the sciences, but for the purpose of giving instruction in the great principles of God's Word and in the practical things of everyday life. The highest class of education is that which will give such knowledge and discipline as will lead to the best development of character and will fit the soul for that life which measures with the life of God. Eternity is not to be lost out of our reckoning. The highest education will be that which will teach our children and youth, our teachers and educators, the science of Christianity, that will give them experimental knowledge of God's way, and impart to them the lessons which Christ gave to His disciples of the paternal character of God. As a people who claim to have advanced light, we are to devise ways and means by which to bring forth a corps of educated workmen for the various departments of the work of God. As a church, as individuals, if we would stand clear in the judgment, we must make more liberal efforts for the training of our young people, that they may be better fitted for the various branches of the great work committed to our hands. As a people who have great light, we should lay wise plans in order that the ingenious minds of those who have talent may be strengthened and disciplined and polished after the highest order, that the work of Christ may not be hindered by the lack of skillful laborers who will do their work with earnestness and fidelity. There should be schools established wherever there is a church or company of believers. Teachers should be employed to educate the children of Sabbath keepers. In all our churches, there should be schools and teachers in those schools who are missionaries. It is essential that teachers be educated to act their important part in educating the children of Sabbath keepers, not only in the sciences, but in the scriptures. These schools, established in different localities and conducted by God-fearing men and women, as the case demands, should be built on the same principles as were the schools of the prophets. Special talents should be given to the education of the youth. The children are to be trained to become missionaries, and but few understand distinctly what they must do to be saved. Few have the instruction in religious lines that is essential. If the instructors have a religious experience themselves, they will be able to communicate to their students the knowledge of the love of God they have received. These lessons can be only given from those who are themselves truly converted, And this is the noblest missionary work that any man or woman can undertake. Children should be educated to read, to write, to understand figures, to keep their own accounts when very young. They may go forward, advancing step by step in this knowledge. But before everything else, they should be taught that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. They may be educated line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. But the one aim ever before the teacher should be to educate the children to know God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Teach the youth that sin in any line is defined in the Scriptures as transgression of the law. Sin originated with the first great apostate. He was a disobedient subject. He led the family of heaven into disobedience, and he and all that were united with him were cast out of the paradise of God. Teach the children in simple language that they must be obedient to their parents and give their hearts to God. Jesus Christ is waiting to accept and bless them if they will only come to him and ask him to pardon all their transgressions and take away their sins. And when they ask him to pardon all their transgressions, they must believe that he will do it. God wants every child of tender age to be his child, to be adopted into his family. Young though they may be, the youth may be members of the household of faith and have a most precious experience. They may have hearts that are tender and ready to receive impressions that will be lasting. They may have their hearts drawn out in confidence and love for Jesus and live for the Savior. Christ will make them little missionaries. The whole current of their thought may be changed, so that sin will not appear a thing to be enjoyed, but to be shunned and hated. Small as well as older children will be benefited by this instruction, and in thus simplifying the plan of salvation, the teachers will receive as great blessings as those who are taught. The Holy Spirit of God will impress the lessons upon the receptive minds of the children, that they may grasp the ideas of Bible truth in their simplicity. And the Lord will give an experience to these children in missionary lines. He will suggest to them lines of thought which the teachers themselves did not have. The children who are properly instructed will be witnesses for the truth. Teachers who are nervous and easily irritated should not be placed over the youth. They must love the children because they are the younger members of the Lord's family. The Lord will inquire of them as of the parents, "What have you done with my flock, my beautiful flock?" It is surprising to see how little is done by many parents to save their own children. Every family in the home life should be a church, a beautiful symbol of the Church of God in heaven. If parents realize their responsibilities to their children, they would not, under any circumstances, scold and fret them. This is not the kind of education any child should have. Many children have learned to be fault-finding, fretful, scolding, passionate children because they were allowed to be passionate at home. Parents are to consider that they are in the place of God to their children, to encourage every right principle and repress every wrong thought. In educating the children and youth, teachers should never allow one passionate word or gesture to mar their work, for in so doing, they imbue the students with the same spirit which they themselves possess. The Lord would have our primary schools, as well as those for older persons, of that character that angels of God can walk through the room and behold in the order and principle of government the order and government of heaven. This is thought by many to be impossible, but every school should begin with this and work most earnestly to preserve the spirit of Christ in temper, in communications, in instruction, the teachers placing themselves in the channel of light, where the Lord can use them as his agents to reflect his own likeness of character upon the students. They may know that, as God-fearing instructors, they have helpers every hour to impress upon the hearts of the children the valuable lessons given. The Lord works with every consecrated teacher, and it is for his own interest to realize this. Instructors who are under the discipline of God do not manufacture anything themselves. They receive grace and truth and light through the Holy Spirit to communicate to the children. They are under the greatest teacher the world has ever known. And how unbecoming it would be for them to have an unkind spirit, a sharp voice, full of irritation. In this, they would perpetuate their own defects in the children.
Oh, for a clear perception of what we might accomplish if we would learn of Jesus! The springs of heavenly peace and joy, unsealed in the soul of the teacher by the magic words of inspiration, will become a mighty river of influence to bless all who connect with him. Do not think that the Bible will become a tiresome book to the children. Under a wise instructor, the work will become more and more desirable. It will be to them as the bread of life and will never grow old. There is in it a freshness and beauty that attract and charm the children and youth. It is like the sun shining upon the earth, giving its brightness and warmth, yet never exhausted. By lessons from the Bible, history, and doctrine, the children and youth can learn that all other books are inferior to this. They can find here a fountain of mercy and of love. God's holy, educating spirit is in his word. A light, a new and precious light, shines forth upon every page. Truth is there revealed, and words and sentences are made bright and appropriate for the occasion as the voice of God speaking to them. We need to recognize the Holy Spirit as our enlightener. That Spirit loves to address the children and discover to them the treasures and beauties of the Word of God. The promises spoken by the great teacher will captivate the senses and animate the soul of the child with a spiritual power that is divine. There will grow in the fruitful mind a familiarity with divine things, which will be as a barricade against the temptations of the enemy. Let all to whom these words may come be melted and subdued. Let us, in our educational work, embrace far more than we have done of the children and youth. And there will be a whole army of missionaries raised up to work for God. I say again, establish schools for the children where there are churches, those who assemble to worship God. Where there are churches, let there be schools. Work as if you were working for your life to save children from being drowned in the polluting, corrupting influences of this life. There are places where our schools should have been in operation years ago. Let these now be started under wise directors. The youth should be educated in their own churches. It is a grievous offense to God that there has been so great neglect to make provision for the improvement of the children and youth when Providence has so abundantly supplied us with facilities with which to work.